Hello, and welcome to a bonus episode of the Derailed Podcast. And I'm Fred.
I'm Chris.
Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
To my house.
Yes, thank you very much.
We're flipping the script.
Yeah, exactly.
With this one. Yeah, so basically, the week that you'll be hearing this, I'm away. So we're recording a quick episode after recording the previous episode, just so that you have something to listen to. There will be very little 18xx discussion in this episode, though, so if you do want to skip it, you're welcome to. It'll be more about us, what we're into, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so basically not at all up to the usual high caliber content that you're used to getting from us.
Right. Okay.
I don't even feel like that sentence made sense. That's how low quality this episode is. Fred's not even going to edit it out. He's just going to let it stand.
No, yeah, I'll keep it in. Yeah.
In all its ungrammatical glory.
Okay, so shall we start a bit about ourselves?
Yeah,
do you want
sure.
to tell the people what you do, a little bit about yourself and so on?
Sure, I am a vagrant. I live under a bridge nearby. Yeah, Fred invites me in once a week for a hot meal and a shower. He makes me play board games with him and then sends me back to my cardboard box.
Yeah. I usually wave as I drive by.
You do, yeah. He drives by in his Lambo and just sort of tips a wave to me and sometimes throws some coins a little bit too hard at my face. No, I am actually a clinical psychologist. I work at a clinic with adolescents, and then I have a private practice as well. I'm trying to become a professional 18xxer. The money isn't there yet, but neither is the skill, actually. Yeah, I am 32. I'm married. No kids. I heard a dink. Yeah.
Dual income, no kids.
Yes. That's what I heard Nick from the Cardboard Reality Cast say that. Yes. He called me a dink. He didn't call me a dink.
He called himself a dink.
You can't call someone else a dink. That's messed up. So I guess I'm a dink. Dual income, no children.
No, right? It's actually kids.
Oh, is it dink with a K?
He said children, but... I've heard dink before, and it's dink with a K.
His was a luxurious dink. It was a dink with a C, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's actually dink with a K, no kids.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, so you're forcing me to tell my age as well, I guess.
Yes, yeah. I threw an age there just because I'm younger than Fred.
You want to brag about your youth.
I had to kind of flex on him. Sometimes I just come in here and bend my knees. And you can listen to them not creaking. I'm like, what up?
Yeah, show off.
I just bang my hip sometimes and doesn't even break.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So what do I do? I do part-time software development. I used to be in IT full-time. I was in IT for 12 years, hint towards my age. Then quit IT, played poker full-time for a couple of years. Slowly did less and less of that and still enjoyed IT stuff and especially development. I still do some development for myself or funsies and stuff like that. So now I'm playing much less poker and doing more kind of part-time software development. I am 41, old. No, not married, no kids.
So you are a sink. Single income, no kids.
Single, no income, no kids.
I think sink is a little bit more catchier than dink, actually. Sink sounds like you have this kind of like shadowy past.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like, well, it sounds like you could be a guy who like beats up other people for money. I don't know. Is that weird? Like, that's Fred. He's a sink. Okay. I don't know. It has kind of like a mobster feel to it, you know?
I don't know.
Like what the Irish mob might call like the enforcer guy.
I don't know.
No? Okay. Maybe this is just me and my warped.
I think so.
Warped perspective.
Your weird psychologist brain.
Yeah, exactly. We are all a bit weird.
So shall we talk a bit about other stuff we're into?
Yes. Yeah. So you mentioned poker. We both... fairly, I guess, at this point, recreationally into poker.
Yes.
I was never like you. I never really played it professionally or whatever. Mm. I made a bunch of spare cash in university playing poker.
Nice.
I played a lot of poker and didn't go to my lectures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did that for a while. But that was when people were really bad.
Right, yeah.
That's when online you could play like super ABC boring poker and just crush people.
And make money, yeah.
Because everyone was just treating it like gambling, essentially.
Yes, yeah.
Those were the days. Now everyone is like super good.
more better than they were back then, but they are always just people who play for fun.
Yeah, true.
You can always, if you put a little bit of effort in, make
it. I'd say online games in general are a lot tougher than they used to
online
be.
Online is a lot tougher, yeah.
Yeah, but people still like games, to gamble live, yeah.
Yeah, live games, a lot of people just like to gamble and kill some time and...
But even then, I kind of got bored of it. I like the social interaction of the game. So I still actually play poker fairly often in real life, just with friends and stuff, home games, stuff like that.
Those are the most fun poker games.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I got bored of the online stuff because it just felt like a bit of a grind. And it was like, it was cool because I was making money and I was a student, but... I actually just got sick of not hanging out with my friends. Yeah. I didn't want to sit in front of a computer playing poker for 6 hours.
Online poker is a grind, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, what else?
Well, you have recently inducted us into the the sport of disc golf.
Yes.
So our entire board game group, well, there's only four of us, but we are now like enthusiastic disc golfers.
Yeah. Do you want to maybe briefly explain what disc golf is?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you haven't played it or heard of it, it's very, very similar to ball golf or kind of regular golf. You just kind of use what's essentially frisbees, but sort of like more advanced frisbees, more specialized frisbees. But the same exact principle applies. How many shots will it take you to get from point A to point B?
Yes.
So you start with a tee, and instead of a hole, you have to get into this big metal basket with chains in it, essentially. Right. Yeah, and you just count your strokes or shots to get there, essentially.
Yeah.
So very, very similar to golf. All the terminology is the same, which is kind of funny when you come in, because there'll be like a wider, a bigger disc with a wider rim called a putter for like your short putts, essentially. So
like your drivers and
so they kind of adopted all the terms. It's still birdies and eagles and bogeys and all of that as well. So very similar, very accessible in the sense that you don't need this very expensive set of clubs. You can honestly have like two discs and that's enough to get you through a course pretty easily, especially while you're still a beginner. The pros will play with like big bags of 40 discs and perfectly select the disc, but honestly, if you knew, you really don't need that at all.
Yeah.
You won't even be able to use it effectively because you won't be able to throw it properly like I can't.
Yeah, you can get into it very, very cheaply. Yeah,
yeah. So like all niche things, it's big in America and like practically non-existent here. We were joking the other day that we are the top part of the top 10 disc golfers in South Africa. And it may actually, in terms of active players, not even be far from the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are literally that few people playing.
We are probably some of the most active players at the moment because we're going every week.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes twice a week. So,
yeah, so it's a very, very small group of people. We have to import discs from overseas. Someone here has started importing them and selling them locally, which is really cool. But yeah, there's no like disc golf store here. People look at you strangely when you even mention it. No one knows what it is. Golf is actually pretty huge here.
Golf is very big, yeah.
South Africa has a ton of golf courses, a lot of golfers. We have a lot of golfers that play at the top level as well.
Yeah, and we have amazing weather for golf, which is maybe one of the reasons. Being outdoors in South Africa is pretty nice most of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's been really fun. We actually play on a course that was set up by a couple of people who are kind of keen on the game. It's actually on this sort of equestrian estate. It's not a disc golf course, but essentially these people have very kindly given us permission to, well, not us, but the people who set it up, to put some baskets up around. And they basically designed a course and put the baskets up. And that's kind of all you need for disc golf, is a lot of open space. Actually, less open the better. Trees and stuff in the way is great. It's not like golf where it's a lot of straight open areas. You want obstacles and things like that to kind of curve discs
obstacles around. Make it interesting.
So it's actually a full 18-hole course and you just kind of show up there and play. That's it. But it's been super, super fun and nice for me to sort of get some exercise and stuff as well. I've felt very like sedentary in the last however many years. As you can imagine, psychologist is a lot of sitting in a chair and talking to people. So yeah, I don't get to move around a lot and I hate running. For the sake of running, if I can chase a ball, I'll run all the time. But I need a purpose
kind of thing. There has to be some goal to your exercise.
So disc golf is great in that you play around and it's a good like 5Ks of walking around this sort of dodgy terrain and stuff. So it's good exercise. And obviously the repeated throwing of the disc.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm also obviously into disc golf. Something else I'm quite into is Go. the game of
Yes,
Go.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm part of the South African Go Association. For people who know Go, my ranking there is 8Q. Online, I play correspondence. My ranking there is 9Q. Yeah, very interesting game. I don't know. When I think of board games, I think more of modern board games, and Go is quite the opposite. It is considered one of the oldest games.
Yeah, and I consider Go to be kind of like a lifestyle game. I always call it, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something you, if you get into it, you'll probably play for most of your life.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's kind of has its own community, its own stuff. Mm. Whereas if you're just into board games, I mean, you're playing like a different Euro or whatever every week. It's not quite the same.
Mm.
Thing is like Go, which is almost like an individual sport in and of itself.
Yeah, and if people don't know what Go is and they're interested, I can highly recommend the AlphaGo documentary on Netflix. It should be on Netflix in most countries. Otherwise, I think YouTube has it as well, available for free. It's basically a documentary about AI and the game of Go. Very, very interesting. Even if you don't know Go, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I watched that knowing like very little about Go at all, and I loved it. I've watched it a few times now because it's so entertaining.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
But I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I love documentaries about like smart people doing smart things. Yes.
Yeah. Anything else you want to mention?
Sure. So in terms of games that I play a lot, so you haven't managed to rope me into Go just yet, although we've played a couple of times. But I'm always worried about like time commitments almost. Like it feels like I get pulled in, like there's a lot of different things I want to be doing, you know, and then it's hard to dedicate the time that you need to. Because a game like Go, you want to like actually invest some time into it and get to know it and learn it and whatever.
But it's also something I think you can just spend time on it when you have it. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you should, for you specifically, if you want to take up Go, consider it something, oh, I need to study hard for 2 months now to get decent at this game. If you play once a month and you just kind of see it as a long-term thing, for the rest of your life, you might play a game every now and then. That's fine, I think. And you'll find it interesting and you'll find it fun.
Yeah, that's true. I think I just tend to like, that's me. I tend to like get heavily invested in something and then put all my focus kind of in that thing, you know?
Mm.
I'm trying to think of games that I've played that are like Go. Well, this isn't like Go at all, but in terms of being a lifestyle game, I've played a lot of Magic.
Right, yeah.
I still play a fair amount of Magic, but mostly online. The paper stuff is just too hard and too expensive to keep up with, even though I much prefer playing Magic in paper.
Yes.
Again, for that kind of social element. I still play a bit on Arena.
Right, yeah.
And play online and stuff. That's fun. Yeah. It's a good game. I mean, I think it's definitely one of the best. Probably the best like card game of that type of, I think, that's ever been designed.
Yeah, I never super got into Magic. I've played a little bit just against, like, if there was a Magic game on the tablet, I would play that against the, you know, against the tablet kind of thing. And I find it fun. I could see myself getting into it if I wanted to, but it's fun. But yeah, I never really got into it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. It requires a lot of investment as well, actually.
Yes,
because you have to know the metagame and there's a lot of rules. Like the rules to play are kind of simple, but there's so much complexity in the interactions and stuff like that. But I guess that's what keeps you kind of coming back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Have you mentioned the cube?
No.
Are you going to mention the cube?
So yeah, something else that I'm into is speed cubing. So that's basically the Rubik's Cube. Yeah, that's very interesting. It's a lot of fun. That's something I used to do when I was at school. And kind of stopped doing for a while and then got back into seriously in around February this year. A friend got me a speed cube, and the cube hardware has improved a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So the cube I was using when I was at school was one my dad bought in 1980. When I was 2 years old, in 1980, the cube kind of became popular. It was an 80s craze kind of thing. So he bought the original Rubik's brand cube, and I still have that cube. And its turning is so difficult compared to the modern speed cubes these days. So anyway, my time when I was at school was probably about 2 minutes it would take me to solve that cube. So earlier this year, a friend bought me a speed cube and showed me the basics of a faster method that people use nowadays called CFOP. For anyone who's interested, you can just Google CFOP. And it's basically, just a slightly different method to solving the cube. So I started learning that method. And by learning the new method, my time was about 5 minutes. I still recorded my time the first time I tried to use CFOP properly. It was about 5 minutes. Nowadays, I can solve the cube fairly reliably around 30 seconds or so. If I go over 30 seconds now, I consider it slightly bad solve. I'm usually in the 20 to 30 seconds range. My best time is 17.53 seconds, I think, is my personal best. So, yeah, that's... Yeah,
I like how you worked out the decimal and then went, I think. Yeah. 17.53, I think.
So, yeah, that's a fun thing.
Yeah, and I kind of got a little bit into it as well. Mm. I just really wanted to know how to solve a cube. I just think it's kind of a cool thing to be able to do.
One of those useless life skills.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of cool, like, to know how to solve it, right? So... Yeah, Fred kind of told me that it was way more difficult than I thought it was going to be. Mm. I thought I was going to have to learn like two things and just kind of repeat them. But it's actually, it's a fair amount of effort just to learn how to solve it, I'd say. Even using the kind of what they call the beginner's method.
You have to be willing to put a little bit of work into it.
Yeah, I actually had to put some pretty serious effort into and learn all the different algorithms and stuff. Now I can solve it whenever I want very easily. I haven't got into the CFOP stuff yet.
Yeah.
I want to do that, but yeah, life, man.
Yeah.
Gets in the way of doing all these different things.
It's cool to just be able to do it, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I like just being able to do it. I have a speed cube for when I want to try and do it faster.
Yes. Yeah.
I can probably solve it these days in about like 2 minutes.
Yeah. But the speed cube is not just for speed. It's also... a nice cube.
Oh, it's
a
just
nice
so much
cube.
Nicer to play with, man.
Yes.
Because they've got magnets in them and it feels so good.
Yeah.
It just like clicks into place when you turn.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, cool. Anything else in general you want to talk about that you're into? I was thinking we could get into some podcasts we listen to and other board games, non-18XX board games we like, but right, anything else you want to mention?
I think so. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm like super into. I play a fair amount of video games, usually competitive online multiplayer stuff.
Okay.
That's kind of my jam. Yeah. I don't play a lot of single player stuff. So all the stuff that kind of makes you angry, like League of Legends, Counter-Strike, Dota, Apex Legends, PUBG, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I like all the competitive stuff.
I'm the opposite. I'm more of a single player kind of game. I still go back to Minecraft every now and then. Mostly single player, modded Minecraft, Factorio, which I've been trying to get you into.
Yes.
If you're an engineer style mind or into computer programming or anything like that, Factorio is addictive. Very cool game. And then I have a Switch and I do most of my other gaming on the Switch.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just because it's largely social. So like all those games I play with my friends a lot of the time and things like that. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. Enjoy with board gaming is the more social side of that. Yeah. Yeah. So shall we get into some board games we like that are non-18XX?
For sure.
Do you want to kick it off? What's one of your favorites?
So... I'd say that most of our board game group, our tastes are pretty much... Because we still play a lot of non-18XX games.
We do, yeah.
Me and Fred would maybe play nothing but 18XX if we had a choice. But yeah, we still enjoy Euros. It's mostly Euro stuff. I think it's always been very Euro-y stuff with us.
Mm.
We're not super into like the big miniatures games or the what they call like Ameritrash stuff. Stomping around, fighting things like that. We are sort of polarized on that. I like the so-called dudes on a map games.
Yes.
Where you sort of fight for territory and things like that. I do like those games because they're pretty strategic and I find them quite interesting. You notoriously, of the people in our group, hate those games the most,
yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of those, yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise, other than that, it's mostly like Euros. And I think the more we've played, the more we've just tended towards heavier and heavier Euros.
Yeah.
I think that's where we ended up with 18XX, sort of was an offshoot of that.
Right. Yeah.
It turned out to be quite a different kind of experience, but still very strategic, very thinky, a lot of decision-making stuff. And that's kind of what we like.
Yeah.
Much less concerned with theme and thematic integration and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are our favorite Euros? I mean, all-time classic is stuff like Terra Mystica.
Yeah, I think all four of us in the gaming group highly rate Terra Mystica.
Yeah, so always happy to play something like that.
Very good game that, yeah.
We like Vital Lacerda's games. Mm. My favorite probably being The Gallerist.
Yeah.
I'm not that
big of a fan of The Gallerist, actually. I actually prefer Lisboa more, which you don't like as much.
Mm.
But another one that I think we've all got in common is Great Western Trail.
Yes, how could I forget, Joe? We love that game.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
Great Western Trail has reached this point where it feels like a palate cleanser for us. Yes. Almost. It's like this very... very like nice flowing, just like fun.
We can play it fairly quickly. So,
yeah. We all just kind of enjoy that one now. It's just kind of like a simple, let's just play a game, but we don't want to think too much. And it's funny because that game is like a very thinky, strategic kind of game. But
it is.
Yeah. Something about the decision-making process in that game, just it feels not like draining. It just feels fun.
And we've played it a number of times, so we know it fairly well. So
You're just like, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do that. Yeah. It just feels kind of nice and
kind of relaxing, yeah.
Yeah.
So one that is one of my absolute favorites that I haven't really gotten you guys to play is Through the Ages.
Oh, yes.
It's a long game, which is a big downside, but it's such a good game. Such a good game. Yeah.
I really like that game. I think my only issue with it is just, I guess kind of the downtime of it, I suppose.
Mm.
The downtime can feel pretty long because you often have to restart your turn a lot in that game, where you realize that whatever you want to do didn't quite add up, or you didn't have quite enough resources or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this process in the game where you have to kind of be like, ah, crap, I screwed this up. Hang on.
Yeah. Because you can chain a lot of things. You can, I'm going to do this, which allows me to do that kind of thing. You
exactly. Know? Yeah. Yeah. But it is a very, very good game.
It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. I really do like that game.
Yeah. Another one you and I both like is Tuck.
Yes. Abstract game.
Yes. Yeah. Abstract strategy game.
I think it's Tack.
Tack, sorry. Yeah.
Tack would be the Afrikaans way of saying it. Yes.
For squin, mate.
Yeah, but I think they pronounce it Tack. That's a very cool game, actually. Yeah, so that was kind of based on the books, the game in the books by Patrick Rothfuss, except it's basically not at all, I believe, like they describe it in the books, as far as I know. I think there's no real link, I don't think. I don't think the game is really that well described in the books. I've read the books, I can't remember exactly, but I don't think that it's described in a particular way.
Yeah.
So Tack is a cool game where you basically have to build a orthogonal, I guess you would call it, road path of kind of connected tiles from one end of the board to the other.
You have to link to opposite ends. Doesn't matter whether it's north to south or east to west.
Right. Yeah. But those links can't be diagonal links. They have to be orthogonal. Yes. So you can go you can make like sort of a jagged,
like a zigzag.
Yeah, a zigzag without diagonals, essentially. Yeah, so you can go up, very across, clever little up, across. Yeah.
Game. Easy to teach as well, but quite deep.
Yeah, we played the crap out of that, actually.
We were away one weekend.
And we played a lot of it.
Yeah, it's because it's fairly quick as well. You just, okay, let's try again.
Yeah. And we figured out some stuff, which was quite cool. There's a kind of cool process of discovery in that. Like,
someone tries a strategy that works, and now you have to figure out a counter to it and things.
Very, very cool game, though.
Cool little game.
Yeah. I have a soft spot. I think you're not really on the same on board with me with this one, but I really love Twilight Imperium.
Yes, I'm not the biggest. I mean, I can see why you like it and why people like it and why it's popular, but it's not quite my style.
So I think I just love, and 1886 gives me a similar feel where it feels like kind of epic. You know, there's this epic story behind it, but Twilight Imperium really captures that well. It
definitely has that.
Yeah. So it just has this like sprawling epic story. It takes a whole day to play sometimes, but I just love there's all this like negotiation and politics stuff in it that I love. I think that's the part that's less interesting for you.
Yes, I'm not into negotiating.
Yeah. So I've played it with one of my other friend groups, and we just spent they spent half an hour arguing about like the first vote and just like standing up in their chairs and just like, screw you, you're trying to bully me into this. And like,
oh, really?
Yeah. And just like, you don't have a choice. Like, I have the power here. And like, I'm going to take down the tyrant. And everyone got all upset and then decided to like turn on this guy who had most political power or whatever. And forced the vote against him, and just like shouting and swearing. And I remember sitting back in my chair after like 20 minutes of this and just watching them go at each other and just feeling so happy. I was just like, I love this. Yeah. This is amazing.
I can see how that is fun if you like that.
Because it was good natured. No one was genuinely angry, but it was just so fun. Everyone got into the theme and the role and stuff so well.
Yeah.
And it just felt so like epic, you know? It's just cool. It's just, it just tells like a great story. It's got all these different races and stuff to explore. It's the fourth edition is a little bit more streamlined. It feels a little bit less bloated, but it's still a game of excess. I mean, there's all these different units and crap and cards and stuff. And and I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
I need to play that again.
Yeah. Another one that I think you like, but maybe not love, is Through the Desert.
Oh, yeah.
That's, yeah. The main reason I like it, it's probably not one of my top five games, but I think it's cool. It's got a little bit of inspiration from Go, in that you're also trying to surround areas of the board. Quite a cool little game. If you like Go, maybe check out Through the Desert.
Yeah, that's true. It's very abstract-y.
Yes.
It's an abstract masquerading as a board game. It does have
kind of a theme with camels in the desert kind of thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's an interesting game, I think.
Yeah.
And then another one that we both like, logical deduction game.
Yes, you're talking about Cryptid.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Cryptid as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a very interesting game. Very thinky. Very, very thinky. Like, hurts your brain.
You have to like deduction games.
Yes.
So, but it's pure deduction. Yeah. It's kind of like Cluedo on crack.
Right.
Or Clue, I think they call it in America. I don't know about the rest
of
the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that, but with actual deduction in it, not necessarily just crossing stuff off or whatever.
Mm.
I know the Clue dyads are going to come out of the woodwork and tell me how there's real deduction in it and you could beat me every time, and I'm sure you can. But yeah, I think Cryptid does it much better.
Mm.
So I just love how clever Cryptid is. Like, the game design of that feels so clever.
It's so cleverly designed. It's very, very cleverly designed.
Basically, the map has infinite setups. So there's sort of this algorithm that can just generate setups for you. And will basically tell you how to lay out the map, tell you where to put these like little monuments and stuff. And then it will tell you there's five different clue books, and it will tell each player to take which book and which number clue to go to.
Mm.
And you'll just have one clue. And so there's like, let's say, 100 hexes on this board, and you have to find the one hex that the cryptid is hiding in.
Right. So basically, let's say, and it scales well with different player counts as well.
Yeah.
But let's say, as an example, you four players. Then each person will have their own one clue. Each person knows one thing about the hex you're trying to narrow down. And if you can figure out everyone else's clues, if you basically combine those four clues into one, combined, they will point to one hex on the board and only one hex on the board. And you're basically trying to figure out that one hex by deducing what the other people's clues are.
Yeah.
By posing questions and things like that.
And the way that game can set that up infinite number of times so easily is just so clever.
No, it's amazingly clever.
And this idea of looking at this board full of hexes and knowing that one of them is the one.
Yes. Yeah.
And it has such a nice tension at the end, because you will have to search that spot.
Yes.
And one by one, each player puts down a cylinder which says, yes, according to my clue, it could be here.
Yes.
Or a cube if it's a no.
Yeah.
So you'll put down your own cylinder, obviously, and then it will go around and it goes cylinder, cylinder, cylinder. And then gets to the last player and he puts down a cube. You're like, no, I was so close.
But even that tells you a lot about other people's clues.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you're wrong there, it's a bit of a risk. If you're wrong there, you're giving away quite a bit of information as well.
Right. So you're constantly asking people, could it be here, essentially? Mm. And if they put down a cube, it means that it can't be. Then that just allows you to eliminate so many of what their possible clues could be.
Yeah.
And so you have this information. It's all on the board in front of you. You just have to figure out the puzzle, essentially.
Yeah. Super clever, super interesting, super fun.
Yeah, very, very fun.
Yeah. Any other board games you want to mention?
I think we have to mention Railways of the World.
Yes.
Which is a train game.
Yeah.
But I think this is probably the game you might have played the most outside of stuff like Go.
Yes, I think it is.
The board game you've probably played the most.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so we both have this game. We both love this game.
So what's nice about Railways of the World is it's not complicated to teach at all. I've very successfully gotten first-time board game players, modern board game players, play this game and then go out and buy this game. It's a very, very fun game. It's basically, if you don't know, you're basically building routes and delivering cubes across the board and gaining points for that. So the interesting thing, I think, about this game that's different from most other games is you start with zero money. In order to do anything, you do need money, and you have to take out a bond, and that bond you will be paying for the rest of the game. You'll be paying like losing some of your income towards that bond. You can never get rid of that bond. And very often you take multiple bonds. I think most of the time you take multiple bonds. Yeah.
Deep in debt.
Yeah. Very fun game. Yeah.
But like you say, it's that perfect intersection of like quite easy to teach.
Mm.
It's obviously more complicated than A Ticket to Ride or something. But honestly, I taught it to the in-laws the other day.
Okay.
And they picked it up.
Right. Yeah.
And they're not like hardcore board gamers or anything.
Yeah.
And you know, they were a little bit confused to start, but then they kind of got into it and then they enjoyed it and then they wanted to play it again kind of thing. So yeah, but it's just, it's got a lot of depth to it, a lot of strategy. It's there's a lot of game there.
Yeah.
And it looks so nice on the table. It's this huge board. You put trains all over it. It feels great.
It does, yeah.
Really nice production. So yeah, it's kind of just a, it's a crowd pleaser. It's very easy to teach. And it's got that really nice depth versus complexity ratio.
Right, yeah.
That I really like. The only other one I guess I'll mention on that front, one of my all-time favorite games is a Euro called The Voyages of Marco Polo. I just love that game.
Yeah, that's another one that I didn't get that into.
Mm.
Like the other two guys in the group also love that game much more than I did.
For me, that one just nails that depth versus complexity. There's so much depth to that game in terms of what you can do and how you can manipulate all the different areas and sort of combine them.
Because
It's got a kind of a worker placement style to it. It's a dice placement game. But yeah, there's the very varied setup. Mm. So all these different bonus actions and stuff are very different every time.
Mm.
And then, yeah, just the way you can maneuver in that game is so clever and you can set up really clever moves, but very easy to teach. Yeah. Very, very easy
to teach. Yeah, it's a cool game. It's just not one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair enough.
Shall we move on to podcasts?
Mm. I feel like I have very boring podcast tastes. So the podcasts I listen to depend entirely on like what I'm into at the time.
Okay.
So when I'm very into Magic, I'll listen to a bunch of Magic podcasts. When I'm very into board games, I'll listen to a bunch of board game podcasts. So I always go and seek out like whatever thing I'm interested in, I'll go and like find a podcast about that thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, if I'm like very into a particular video game or something, I might find a podcast about that, you know. So what podcasts do I listen to at the moment? I listen to a few Magic podcasts. Okay. Even though I don't play a lot, I still kind of enjoy Magic podcasts a lot.
You still find it interesting,
I'm sure. Yeah, I just find them interesting talking about Magic, what's happening in the metagames and stuff.
Mm.
I find that pretty interesting to listen to. I listen to the other two 18XX podcasts that are out there, obviously, which is The Train Rush, which apparently have a new episode coming soon, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been on a bit of a hiatus. They've kind of been organizing a con in the UK and stuff that. Yeah. I think it was in the UK, yes, but they had it. Yeah, so they've had a lot of other stuff on their plate, but I'm very keen to hear the next episode.
Yeah.
And then Wheel Tapping, which we've given a shout out to before, but that's a new 18XX podcast. It's just started. So yeah,
I
hope that does well, because more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Yeah, I listen to both of those as well, Train Rush and Wheel Tapping. Wheel Tapping is more monthly, and they've only got one episode out so far, but
yes, I think I saw the second one is on the way as well.
Oh, is it on the way? Yeah. I enjoyed that first episode a lot, so subscribed. One that I've been, definitely the one that I've been listening to the longest, and this must be pushing 10 years, is The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Very, very good. If you're into that kind of thing, it's basically just, I don't know, taking a rational view of the world.
Right.
Yeah, just interesting, nice people. I've actually met them when I was in Vegas for poker 1 year. They had a con in Vegas, and I went there and met most of the guys there.
So I'm trying to look at what podcasts I do listen to that are like interesting, I suppose. But you know what I feel like happens whenever I've like changed podcast apps a lot, because like whatever app I have kind of annoys me after a while. It's got some like feature that I want or something, and then they all get deleted, and then when I forget to add
all the new ones.
So there have been some that I've enjoyed. Like I enjoyed the original season of Serial. I don't know if you ever listened to that.
I did listen to the original one.
The original one was cool. The next one was crap, in my opinion. But the first one was really, really cool, which was like kind of like a true crime sort of investigative kind of thing, which told a cool story. I've listened to a couple of like horror story podcasts in the past.
Okay.
With varying success. I've listened to the Freakonomics podcast quite a lot.
I still listen to that one.
Yeah, that's quite cool. I think that also has like good episodes and less interesting episodes. Yeah. But
strangely with Freakonomics, I usually like sometimes I'll see the title of the episode or the topic and I'm like, oh, this is going to be boring. But then they find an interesting angle on most things.
Right.
Yeah. No, I enjoy that one.
I think maybe I do that too. I look at the title and then don't listen to it.
I do listen to it, and usually it turns out to be interesting. Like there was one, for example, that was about swimming pools. I'm like, oh, okay, how interesting can swimming pools be? But it was very interesting because they tied the shape of modern swimming pools is this kidney type shape, they call it.
Right.
And that had a lot of it, like that had a major influence on skateboarding.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, and we both used to skateboard. Yeah, so I actually found that episode very, very interesting when by looking at the title, I thought it was going to be super boring, but yeah. So I like that one. That's a good one, yeah.
That is true,
if yeah. you enjoyed the Freakonomics book, I'd say give the podcast a try. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I listen to a podcast called How Stuff Works sometimes, which is quite cool.
Okay.
Which I'll just take like a random thing and be like, yeah, mm-hmm. how does this work?
Yes.
Like, how do pens work or whatever? Right. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is actually quite cool. I like informative stuff like that.
Yes.
I listen to the Joe Rogan podcast on and off. Like every episode is like 3 hours long and yeah. there's like a new episode like every day. So sometimes if I like the guest or if it's like a funny comedian or like an interesting figure or something, I'll listen to that.
Mm.
Yeah. So I listen to that one a little bit, which is quite cool. I think that's quite a big podcast. So most people
it's
probably know that.
It's a popular one. Yeah. It's not one I listen to though.
I listen to a lot of Lost podcast on the left, which is this weird like true crime thing where they cover like serial killers and stuff like that with a comedy angle, which sounds kind of weird.
Yes.
I think, but they are very funny.
I'm aware of it, yeah.
Yeah, they're very funny. So it's actually kind of interesting to like the history and stuff and some of the world's most terrible people to kind of listen to the stuff. But yeah, they definitely break it with the seriousness with some humor and they do a lot of like role-playing stuff and improv kind of stuff, but it's very funny.
Okay.
Yeah. That is very good.
Yeah.
One podcast I've really, really enjoyed, but it's not necessarily like a weekly episode kind of thing, is Hardcore History.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Very cool, man. So
apparently it's very, very good. Yeah.
It's this guy who does these very long form podcasts on some kind of historical event.
Mm.
Like the one on World War I was incredible. I listened to all of that. That was like 14 hours long
wow.
or something. So split over like maybe 4 or 5 episodes,
mm.
but just goes into like incredible detail. And what I like includes a lot of personal stuff. So you'll read letters that people wrote okay. and you'll talk a lot about like actual battles or what the experience was like of actually being there and really puts it in perspective, hey, like how brutal the stuff actually was. Because you know, like, oh yeah, this many people died or whatever, and it was terrible. But to kind of, when he goes through it and to kind of imagine actually being there and what that must have been like, it's very, very hectic, very, very well done. So that's Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. He just has a very engaging style. Really, really cool.
Right, yeah.
I really enjoy his stuff a lot.
Yeah. Another one that I listen to is 99% Invisible. Have you heard of that one?
No, I was just laughing at the title. Sorry.
The title is kind of meaning like things you see around you every day, but don't necessarily think about why they are the way they are.
I like that.
So it's semi-design-ish focused, like almost kind of like, why is this thing designed the way it is?
Right, yeah.
Very, very interesting. Also one of those things where you don't think the topic might necessarily be interesting, but then it turns out to be very interesting.
Yeah.
One episode, they sometimes have like guest episodes as well. Like one was about color and just, you know, like how different languages didn't necessarily have a word for what, I can't remember now, but what we call green. Another language didn't have a word for it, and for them it was just a different shade of blue or something like that.
Right.
You know, very interesting stuff. Also, where I learned that orange was named after the color was named after the fruit, not the other way around.
Right. Yeah.
Orange used to be just a different shade of red, but then this fruit was called an orange, and people started calling that shade of red orange as well. Stuff like that. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, you might enjoy that because it's informative.
I like that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and then other than that, a bunch of board game podcasts, really.
Okay.
Yeah, so I used to listen to Carpool Reality until they rudely ended it.
Yes.
yeah, other ones I listen to, the Shut Up and Sit Down one, I think is fairly entertaining. So Very Wrong About Games, I think is very good and usually very right about games. I really like that because I think they have very good criticism. Like they do reviews very well, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think board game media kind of lacks what I would call like proper critical reviews.
Mm.
Like if you read like movie reviews, it's very different from someone talking about the plot and did I like it or not.
Mm.
And I feel a lot of board game reviews are that kind of equivalent where they're like, this is what you do in the game. I thought it was pretty cool.
Mm.
I feel like these guys really get actual critical analysis pretty well.
Okay.
So I think they're very worth listening to in that sense.
Right.
A lot of other ones I listen to just for entertainment value. Yeah, I've also just started listening to Dads on a Map.
Yes, that's one of the Cardboard Reality guys.
Yes, it? Yeah. So it's not them, but it's sort of a couple of their Patreon members, long time. And they'd also written for the website, I believe, one or two of them. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the
last episode. They mentioned that, so I've been listening to that. That's quite entertaining as good. Well.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy that. So, and I think that's kind of about it. I really want to add more podcasts, to be honest. I'm going to add these ones that you talk about, because sometimes I'll kind of look and there's nothing I really want to listen to.
Yeah.
Like the stuff I feel like I have all these podcasts, but there's like definitely a tier. You know what I mean? There's like ones where like every time there's a new episode, I'm like, sweet, I'll listen to that. Yes. And there's other ones where I'm like, and I've actually found myself moving away somewhat from some of the board game ones.
Mm.
I think because I'm less hyped about board games actually than I used to be. I'm a little bit almost like burnt out on board games that aren't 18XX games.
You're right. You're not so eager to know what the new hotness is.
Yeah, I've totally fallen out of that. Hey, yes, like we used too. To buy, our group used to buy a lot of board games. And I think we've actually been buying less. Mm. I mean, I know I have.
Oh, me too.
But I think even like Rudy used to buy the most. I think even he has slowed down a bit as well.
Yeah, no, I enjoy more just replaying a game and getting more into the depth of a
absolutely particular game. Yeah, and for me these days, 18XX has sort of taken over my love for board games. So I'll happily play whatever the latest good Euro is or whatever, no problem. But I don't have much of an inclination to acquire games anymore aren't 18XX games. Yeah, I very much want more 18XX games. I just want to build this big library of 18XX now.
Yeah.
But actual board games, well, not actual, but like whatever you call them, traditional board games, I'm just like,
Yeah, there's one more podcast I'd like to mention, and that's No Such Thing as a Fish.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Have you heard, listened to that one?
Yes, I think I have in the past.
It's very, very funny. So, a little bit informative as well, but more humor. It's basically, there's a TV show called QI, quite interesting. And this podcast is by the people who do the fact research for QI, as they call themselves, the QI elves or something. And basically, they do a weekly episode where each of them comes up with an interesting and usually funny fact. They state the fact and then they do a bit of a back and forth discussion and the comedy about that fact. Very funny. I've actually laughed out loud while listening to this on headphones doing like a park run and thinking, if people are watching me, they must think I'm nuts. I'm just walking and laughing to myself.
Yeah, exactly. Very
funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I want to add, I need to add some of your podcasts.
Yeah, so 99% Invisible, I think you'll really like.
Mm.
Skeptics Guide to the Universe, I think you might like, but it's also a longer podcast. So maybe, like, it's one of those things that I think might take you a little while to get into.
Right.
But yeah, No Such Thing as a Fish is also very, very good. Yeah,
because I think that's the problem. I've kind of like some of these podcasts, ones I haven't mentioned, or like board game podcasts and stuff. And I'm just like, I see a new episode. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
You know, I think the part of that is because of my, like, I don't really want to listen to 7 different board game podcasts anymore. Right. Like, there's a couple I enjoy and I'll listen to. But yeah, it's definitely just that idea of it kind of waning a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to mention?
Yeah. No, probably not, I guess. Okay. I guess that's kind of enough for now.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, thanks for chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out if you made it to the end.
Yes.
Yeah, like I said, we just wanted to kind of chat about some stuff or do something a little bit different as kind of like a bonus episode.
Getting to know us a little bit more, what else we're into, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
If you guys have any questions, send those through as well.
Yes.
We love emails and questions.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just attention whores.
Yeah. All right. Time to go back to your bridge.
Yes. Yeah. No, sorry. Listen, I've overstayed my welcome. Thank you, kind sir, for your generosity.
My pleasure. Same time next week. Well, not next week.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, can you just slip a key under the mat or something so I can at least come have my weekly shower?
I'll see.
Okay. Thank you for your consideration.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys. Cheers. Chat soon. Cheers.
Bye. If you would like to get in touch with us, we are at derailed18xx on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us, derailed18xx@gmail.com, and we're on Patreon at patreon.com/derailed18xx. Thanks for listening.